Joining us on the line today, we have Farmers Weekly journalist Gerard Ace, who is going to be bringing us a little bit up to speed with what the team has been busy with over the last while. Gerard, nice to chat to you and welcome.
Good to talk again, Sabrina.
What have you been keeping yourself busy with there?
Well, I've been to a lot of conferences, been to a lot of farms, but I think it's not only me. All my colleagues have been doing the same. So we have quite a full issue again. If I can start with one of our first articles, we spoke last week about a reader's letter about hunting. And here we have an article, obviously, from the whole Cecil the Lion episode, where Dr. Gerard Verduin, who is a conservationist and hunter, talks about how one has to conserve the lost lions, and that the lions are actually now on the endangered species list of the Union for Conservation.
Really?
Yes. So they've gone from the vulnerable red list and they've moved onto an endangered list. And this article is quite informative, where he says that lion in private hands, and the argument has always been that they add to conservation, but he says because they're not part of the genetic pool for wild lions, they actually do not add. And the article talks about why they're endangered, how they're in conflict with livestock in Africa, how there's a growing demand for bones in the Far East, and the habitat is shrinking. So I think that is quite a relevant article for something that's quite newsworthy at the moment.
Most definitely. I had a very interesting discussion with a professor from Northwest University, and he also had a lot to say about the potential impacts. You know, it's all good and well for the very hardcore conservationists among us to be calling for a total ban on trophy hunting. But he said as well, you know, people need to look at the bigger picture. Such a ban would have such far-reaching consequences, not only for people involved in the hunting sector, your taxidermists, your lodges, your professional hunters, all of that, but also for conservation at large. So I think one needs to take a step back and look at this realistically as well.
I think listen to all sides of the story. It's not just two sides. There's many sides. And in a lot of countries, to the middle of Africa, where something like hunting has been banned, a lot of poaching has happened. And I think that balance also needs to be struck. But I think readers will, they'll make up their own minds. Then the Agri Northern Cape Congress happened last week, and we've got quite a lot of things that flowed from that. Aaron Stjernowski, that I think you are well aware of, talked about how South African farmers are under pressure from other African producers. And there's a lot of talk of how, you know, South African farmers can export to Africa, but one of our biggest issues is logistics and roads and petrol price, and the fact that if you export to a country like Zambia, you're coming back with empty trucks. You're paying double, but you only have one load that you're delivering. And South Africa, for the first time this year, imported maize from Zambia. So he talks about that, and I think if we don't sharpen up our transport and our logistics, we are heading the wrong way.
Yeah, that Congress as well, economist Dr. Roelof Botha also speaking very much about the potential that there is in Africa. So he said, you know, there's positives, there's negatives. The infrastructure, definitely a difficult situation to cope with. But the lack of restrictions in terms of trade with our neighboring countries, very, very good. His basic message there is to people to remember that South Africa is also part of Africa. Don't ignore the opportunities that there are.
And I think in another article that also refers to this, Dr. Christy Visser, chairperson of ShopRite Checkers and Pepkor, he spoke about the positive things, saying that the trade in the continent and between the continent and other countries had increased by 200% over the past decade, and that inflation had dropped from 22% to 8%. You know, but we haven't reached our full potential because exactly of infrastructure. So we see the market is there, but there's one or two things that need to be sorted out, one or two kinks.
Very, very interesting figures and stats coming out there. I think your readers will definitely be able to get some very nice ideas on how they can possibly cash in on the options up in Africa.
Then we announced the winners of the Samic Carcass Competition. That's a national competition that was held in Freiburg. We have photos of all the winners there, and they're obviously from all across South Africa, and we've got commercial and development farmers that participated. And that is for cattle, goat, and sheep that we have that.
Let's move over on to the features then, Gerard.
Okay, we've got a couple of features. The one is looking at red flags to consider when you buy a farm. Looking at things like mining rights, water usage, restrictions on the land, land claims, zoning, servitude. So obviously covering a lot of angles. And I think that's good because we have a lot of readers emailing in and asking questions like, what do I look for when I buy a farm, and where can I buy a farm, and what are the prices involved? And talking about prices, the next article talks about knowing your market when you buy and talking about how much can you expect to pay for a certain amount of hectares in a given area and how much you paid 10 years ago for this. So that's quite interesting. And then on the same note, we have a valuer who's starting a new column with us, Rumpf Kruger. And he's going to write a monthly column looking at value and pricing. What is unique on a farm? Because you have a farm, it's a certain amount of hectares. But if it has a borehole or already has a shed, by how much does the price actually go up? And what people should look at when they consider buying a farm?
I think most definitely. Already my ears are perking up over here thinking, lovely. Now I can add something more to my scanning of the farms for sale. I think people, even if you're not in the market for a farm, it's something that is always going to be interesting to anybody with an interest in agriculture or with an interest in land as well. I think it's so much at the heart of so many South Africans.
Yes, and I think in South Africa, especially if people want to start farming, it's quite hard because prices have gone up and they differ. You know, we have areas where it's 16,000 rand for a hectare and other areas where it's 50,000 rand a hectare. And why are these prices so high? And if you want to start, maybe if you were thinking you want to farm in the Free State, maybe look somewhere else. There's no reason why you can't farm somewhere else where it's easier to enter the market.
It sounds like an absolutely riveting issue that you guys have got lined up. I'm already busy rubbing my hands together thinking on those how to buy a farm articles, for example. So
yeah.
Next edition is going to be on shelves from Friday. Lots and lots of relevant local topical news there, international news, the Farmer's Diary, and then of course lovely informative features that you can really get some info there to take back to your own farm and put it into practice and hopefully improve your yields, improve your productions, improve your animal health, for example. Gerard, absolutely lovely chatting to you again and look forward to speaking to you again next week.
Sabrina, we'll talk again next week.